Good morning. Welcome to Living Hope. We like to begin with this greeting Christians have been using for just about forever. The Lord be with you.
Thank you.
Sorry, Scott and I were just trying to decide who was going to tell you what this thing is he's got in his hands. Apparently he's playing a mandolin?
A mandolin, yes.
I never know if it's a mandolin or a mandolin or where the emphasis is supposed to go.
I don't know. I like a mandolin because it sounds more like a girl's name.
Mandolin? Yeah. It does. Yeah, a mandolin. Okay. Could we bow our heads for a moment? Let's pray as we begin to worship this morning. God, we thank you for inviting us into this time, this chance to come in out of the cold and to have our hearts warmed by the presence of your Holy Spirit. We pray that you will make your presence known to us as we sing to you, as we pray to you, as we listen to your word, as we celebrate communion together. And then today, God, as we listen to the kids sing about this wonderful Christmas holiday and the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. God, through this whole service, would your Holy Spirit speak to us? Help us to have hearts and minds open to you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's stand and let's sing.
All right. To read for you from the most unique, I think, of the Gospels in terms of their Christmas stories. John. Chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word. The Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to the darkness. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. And I wish for you all joy and comfort this Christmas season as Christ's victory over the dark.
Oh, boy. This is what we're doing for the month of December. We've been looking at Christmas carols and letting those lead us to the scriptures about Jesus and how those connect with our lives. Hopefully you got one of these when you came in. Let's you know what's going on around here these days. If not, there's more out in the foyer. And inside, of course, is that little green welcome card. We'd love to have you fill that thing out and share with us what's going on in your life, how we can be praying for you or thanking God with you, or if you have questions or you want to know more about something that you read about in the bulletin or something that happens this morning, that's a great way to communicate with me. So just make sure after you fill it out, you drop it in the offering box back by the door, along with any gift that you want to make this morning to support the work of God here and around the world. That'd be fantastic. I know we're continuing to ask you to be praying and asking God specifically, God, what would you have me to contribute toward this new building? Some of you got a chance to look at the drawings over there in the corner. We're still tweaking a couple things here and there, but by and large, it looks like that's what we're going to be doing with the inside of the building up there at 1115 North Calumet. We haven't closed on it yet. That's not going to happen until sometime in the new year, and then the construction stuff will happen. But in order to make that happen, we have to make sure we've got the funds needed to do the work. So we trust that if all of us just pray and ask God, okay, God, what would you have me to give? Then together we'll be able to give everything that's needed to make that happen. So please pray and just be obedient to God and give whatever God would have you give toward that. You can just mark it building fund, and that'll go toward the new building. And if you have questions about that, feel free to ask. let's see. We are going to have a Christmas Eve service here. It's our one evening service of the year on, I guess it'd be December 24th, on Christmas Eve. We'll be here at 5 o'clock. And so we'd love to have you join us for that, invite your friends for that. We don't have kids stuff going on for that. It's a little bit shorter service, and we sing all Christmas carols. We do candlelight at the end, so the kids tend to enjoy it. Plus, at the end, there are Christmas cookies, though we don't eat them here. We give those to you to give to other people. So if you would like to bring Christmas cookies for that next Sunday, we'd love to have them show up next Sunday, and that way we can get them all boxed up and have them ready for Tuesday night. So anyway, that's coming up. All right, this morning, the message that we're looking at is Away in a Manger, as you can see from your notes there. I went ahead and included the first couple of verses in your notes. This, to be honest, how many of you love Away in a Manger? Is this like one of your favorite Christmas carols? Yeah, I would not raise my hand for that, personally, because it's not one of my favorites. It's a lullaby, and it's all about the, you know, little Lord Jesus, and I'm just picturing, you know, parents singing it to their kids. We don't know who wrote it. Some people say Martin Luther did, but we don't really know. It showed up for the first time in 1885 in a Lutheran Sunday school curriculum. You know, it was just written out there in this Sunday school materials and without an author listed. And so we're not sure exactly who wrote it or when it started, but obviously it's had a big impact on people down through the years. I'll be honest, the reason I don't care for it is the one line in verse 2 where it says, you know, the cattle are lowing, the baby awakes, but little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. It has this picture of Jesus like he's not even human. You know, I mean, he's like other, it's not realistic to me. I mean, how many of you have had babies at some point in time? Did they cry? Yeah, I mean, they cry, they scream, they make all kinds of noise. You know, I was just talking to a new parent last Sunday, here with their baby for the first time, and asking them, how are things going? He's sleeping through the night, and like, well, kind of, yeah, you know. I mean, babies cry, babies make noise, and Jesus was a human being. He was a human baby. But one thing I love about this song, and so many other Christmas carols, is they don't just present little, you know, baby Jesus, but they acknowledge that right from the start, this is, well, what do they call him over and over again in this one? No crib for a bed. The little Lord Jesus lay down his sweet head. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. Little Lord Jesus even is the one that's not crying unrealistically. You know, I mean, he's the Lord from the very start. He's acknowledged in this Christmas carol and so many others as being the Lord, as being the newborn King that we sing over and over and over again. That's the key truth this morning that we're focusing in on, is that Jesus is Lord. If you're a fill-in-the-blanker, that's what goes in that blank, is the word Lord. All right? Now, I'll be honest with you, too. When I think of the word Lord, especially this time of year with the 12 days of Christmas, and I don't remember how many lords a-leaping there are in that song, but you know, lords and ladies, and I think we kind of think of, sometimes that word Lord makes us think, you know, oh, frilliness, and I don't know what. It's just kind of goofy, you know. But this idea of being Lord means that he's, well, you've got it in your notes there. It's a translation of a Greek word, kurios or kyrios, however you want to put that into English. It's a Greek word that basically means, I mean, what the word Lord meant is the owner. It's one who has control of the person, the master. It's the, I liked this one, the possessor and disposer of a thing. The Lord of something is like, okay, they possess it, they own it, and they can dispose of it as they will. You know, or in a political sense, it's the sovereign, the prince, the chief, the emperor. And right from the start, Jesus is acknowledged as being the Lord. From Luke chapter 2, when the angels showed up and were saying to the shepherds, you got it there in your notes, the angel said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Right from the start, acknowledging that this newborn baby is Lord. It's like a newborn king. This is royalty. He is Lord. Now, that doesn't fit real well sometimes with the sentimentality that we have about Christmas. You know, he's a cute little baby and we like that image of him. But Jesus, you know, grows up to be acknowledged as the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Prince of Peace. He's the one who rules and reigns over all things. And sometimes in the church, we use language like, we talk about, are you trusting Jesus as your Savior? Have you made Jesus Lord of your life? Or something like that. And unfortunately, that language almost makes it sound like we're the ones who make Jesus Lord. Like we're the ones who somehow like ascribe that worth to him or confer that title to him or something. We don't get to do that, all right? Jesus is acknowledged as Lord. I mean, that God makes Jesus Lord. God's the one who sets Jesus up as the Lord, the ruler, the judge, finally, of all of us. We just surrender to his lordship. We just acknowledge it. We just say, ah, you're right. You are in charge and not me. So that's what we're going to talk about today, is surrendering to the lordship of Christ, letting this little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay, letting Jesus be Lord of our lives, acknowledging that, you know what, I'm not king of my own universe. I'm not Lord of my own castle. I'm not God. I'm his son or daughter, I'm created by him, I'm loved by him, but you know what, he's Lord, he gets to call the shots.